Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Also, as you're finding your place there, I want to encourage you to find in your bulletin the handout for this morning. I've left space amongst the different points that are explained there, and I will give you many extra scriptures besides what are listed there, and I want to just encourage you to write them down. The subject matter before us in the Word of God this morning is very important, and I believe it'll be helpful to you to take some additional notes beyond what is there. In all honesty, the material from the Word of God that we are considering this morning is so very important that if our church does not continue to grasp this, and if new folks do not continue to grasp this truth here, it will not be long before Coon Rapids Baptist Church would die. I don't say that to be overly dramatic or overstate the case. But the truth that is here before us is so very essential in perpetuating the gospel through this place. I'm preaching to you this morning on this subject, membership matters. I was a boy several years ago. My son asked me how old I was one time when I was a boy. How do you answer that question? As I grew up, many opportunities I would have for being involved and playing with all sorts of different forts and clubs. You would enjoy these different boys' clubs. Other than 4-H, I wasn't involved in any official sort of club other than what we would make up ourselves. We would have some sort of code from time to time. We'd have different forts in different locations. Sometimes we'd have different leaders, and it was always exciting to be a part of this boys' club in this different location where we would play it, whether it was at church or at the babysitter's house or wherever it was. And it was always so neat to have these forts and hideouts that you thought nobody could ever invade and no one could ever see, and they were undercover. It was exciting to be a part of such a boys' club, formal, informal as it may be. And I want to say to you this morning that church membership is every bit greater than a boys' club truly is. And this morning I want to speak to you standing upon the authority of the Word of God as to the importance of this principle. As I've examined this principle over the past several weeks, I am more passionate than I've ever been about the importance of this truth. It makes so great of a difference in your life and in the cause of Christ. Membership matters. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, we are in need for you to do a work. Lord, we have many different things upon our minds, and now we'd ask that you would help us to put those from our minds that we might focus upon the Word of God. Spirit of God, I'm asking that you put within us a willingness, a submissiveness to what the Word of God says, that as you guide us and direct us, we would be willing to make the changes that are needed in our lives. I'm asking that you would work in our lives that we might be changed to match more the image of Christ, to be in compliance with what the Word of God says. And Spirit of God, I'm asking that you would help this to be the case, that it might make a difference in the lives of other believers, that it might make a difference in our community, because we are the church members that we ought to be. So Lord, I'm asking you to do this work for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Membership matters. Simply by way of review, I want to remind you of seven principles that the Word of God teaches that bring out the fact of church, local church membership. You see there in your notes before you that the first one is this, that God's distinctions demand church membership. God is constantly throughout Scripture making distinctions between His people and the people of the world. Certainly church membership fits into those distinctions. The second truth that we saw was that the church documents demanded church membership. The Scriptures showed how they knew when members were added unto them, about 3,000 souls. They kept records as people were added unto the church. They had a list of widows that belonged to the church. The documents of the early church, as preserved for us in the book of Acts, indicated that there was church membership. Number three, church discipline demanded church membership. If a person is going to be dismissed from the group, you must know who the group is. You must know who is in the church. If the church is going to vote on dismissing a person because of church membership, then they must understand who is eligible to make that vote, who's in the church and who is not. If you are to tell it unto the church, you must know who is a part of the church in order for church discipline to function. Number four, the church decisions demand church membership. We see decisions throughout the scriptures. Again, church discipline brings this out. The idea of doctrinal decisions, what are we going to believe? Well, who is going to decide that if you don't have church membership? The decision to call a pastor. In Acts chapter 6, the decisions to have certain deacons, certain men serve in the capacity of deacons. The very fact of church decisions in the scriptures demand church membership. You cannot have effective decision making if you don't have church membership. Number five, we saw that the church's display demands church membership. That the church is intended to display a spiritual unity. And certainly then you need to unite with the local church to bring out that picture. The church is supposed to display the fact that people are a special people. That they have trusted Christ as their Savior. And part of that is joining the church. And them being said, it being said of them, these people know Christ as their Savior. They are part of our church. Then we saw number six, that pastoral duty demands church membership. The scriptures tell us that pastors are going to give an account unto the Lord of those that are under their care. How do they know for those for whom they give account? They know that they are going to give account for certain ones because those certain ones are members. They don't have to give an account for everyone. That would be impossible. The only way for them to know those for whom they are going to give account is by church membership. And finally, we said doctrinal defense demands church membership. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is there to defend the Word of God, to be that pillar that supports it, and that bulwark, that foundation, that strong bulwark there supporting the doctrines of the faith. And yet the church, in enabling it to be that doctrinal defense, must have church membership so that they can defend the teachings of the Word of God. So as we examined the scriptures, we found seven key reasons as to why the scriptures teach local church membership. I just wanted to review those briefly, but I want to say to you this morning, membership matters. It is a, number one, it's a reality. It is a reality that you should be a part of, a member of a local church. The Bible does teach it. So with that in mind, I want to move on to our second truth. Membership matters. It has requirements. If you're going to be a part of a local church, if you're going to be a member of a local church, what requirements do the scriptures bring out for a person to be a member? Number one, or letter A there, salvation by faith. Here in Matthew chapter number 16, Christ is going to make his first statement about the church. And yet before the Lord Jesus Christ himself makes that first statement about the local church, before he ever talks about the church, he examines Peter's salvation by faith. Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse number 15. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter makes a statement there showing that his faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made sure of Peter's saving faith before he spoke of the church and Peter's role in the church. Before he ever talked about the church, before he ever talked about Peter's involvement in the church, he talked about Peter's salvation. Set a precedent for all of us. Go over to Acts chapter number 2, if you would, please. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning because I want you to see that what we believe about this matter is firmly rooted in the scriptures. Acts chapter number 2, and we're looking at verse number 38. Here is Peter. He's heard it demonstrated from Christ himself, and Peter then follows Christ's example so that when he is preaching here on the day of Pentecost, Peter says in verse number 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Part of becoming a church member is being baptized, as we're going to see here in a little bit. Before you could do that, he said, you need to repent. That's part of salvation. Look at verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They received his word. That's another way of referring to the fact that they trusted Christ as Savior. Look over at verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Salvation is important for church membership. Go over to Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Acts 5:14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Believers added to the Lord. Over and over throughout Scripture, the indication is that you need to be saved. The clear teaching is that you need to be saved, that you need to have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ before you become a member of the church. Go over to 1 Corinthians. Acts, Romans, then 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul's writing a letter here. And he's going to clearly state that he's writing a letter to the church. And yet, as he's writing a letter to the church, notice what he says about them. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. It's a local church. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The statements right there are clear. He's writing to a church. Who is this church? It's people who've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sanctified. They are believers. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. Go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Thessalonians. Back in the T's. Colossians, Thessalonians, then the Timothy's. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to see several scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're in Him, that means they've trusted Christ as their Savior. Look down at verse number 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. They're elect. They are brethren. They are believers. Look at verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. These people are believers. When he writes unto the church, he's writing unto these believers in these texts. The teaching of Scripture is this, that for a person to be a member of the church, number one, they must have trusted Christ as their Savior. Now let me ask you this morning here, if there's been a time in your life in which you have done that. This is the foundational issue. This is the issue for all of life. I was thinking about this the other day as I was involved in a certain situation and I was meditating upon a person and I thought, I wonder what they think their purpose in life is. Man, if you take the Lord Jesus Christ out of it, what do you have here? But to know Christ as your Savior and have that walk with Him, has there been a time in your life in which you have trusted Christ as your Savior? He said, I don't understand what that's all about. It starts with this. It starts with understanding that God is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created you, and He gave you life. Therefore, He gives the rules for all of life. He says, this is right, and this is wrong. And if you do this, this is the punishment. And He says that the wages of sin, the punishment for sin, is death. And we look at our lives, and by honest evaluation, by looking into the face of God, by looking into the Word of God, we understand we have broken God's laws. We are far more often on the wrong side than we are on the right side. And we look at it and we say, God, I realize that I have sinned, and I realize that You as the Creator, the Lord of all, have said that the punishment for sin is death. And I don't want to experience that. But God in His love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. I deserve to die, but Jesus Christ died in my place. And if I will simply repent of my sin, turn from my sin, and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can have salvation. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternity in heaven. That is salvation. That is knowing Christ. That is what we are talking about here. The first requirement is salvation by faith. I want to mention a couple other truths just by way of logic here that show to us that church membership demands, first of all, salvation by faith. A couple other truths of logic is this, that Jesus Christ demands that people be born again. He says He must be born again. How is it that you would want to be a part of Christ's church when you're not willing to obey Him and trust Him for salvation? Second proof that we see is throughout all of the book of Acts, the testimony is there of people coming to know Christ as Savior. It's all about people trusting Him for salvation. And the saved church membership is consistent with that. Number three, John 4:24 says, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." How can you come and be a member of the church when you cannot worship Him in spirit and truth because you do not know Christ as your Savior? If you're going to follow the teachings of worshiping in spirit and in truth, you're going to have to know Christ as Savior. Number four, unity. If a church is an assembly of people that are united together, how can there be unity if the core belief that you have is not salvation in Christ? How can I be united to you when I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and I'm trusting Him as my Savior and you believe you can get there by good works? You've never trusted Him. You think you're good enough on your own. There is no way we can have unity when I'm believing in Jesus Christ and you are believing in something differently. How can it be Christ's assembly if everyone that is a member of it is not Christ's? He says, it's my church. I will build my church. And if it's His church, it demands that you put your faith and trust in Christ. No wonder. As Baptists, this is one of the key articles of what we believe. We believe in a saved church membership. Recently, when we visited Maranatha Baptist University to take some students over there, I sat in some seminary classes. One of the professors brought out an incredible point as he was talking about some aspect of church history there. That he says, saved church membership is one of the struggles that we have with infant baptism. Because infant baptism allows people to become members of the church when they don't know Christ as their Savior. It opens the door if they allow them to be baptized and become church members then. It opens the door for people who do not know Christ as their Savior to become a part of the church. But the New Testament speaks of a holy building of God, of the holiness of the church. And it's not possible when it's filled with unregenerate, unsaved individuals. There must be a saved church membership. Now this is very important. And it's important that we as a church stick to it. And I pray God that He would put into you a fire of the importance of this. Probably every single one of you in here that know Christ as your Savior, rather, every single one of you that are a member of the church could articulate and explain that this is important. But I trust it's burned into your soul this morning. The church members must be saved. They must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this is important because part of becoming a church member is standing before people and giving a testimony of your faith in Christ. And it matters. If we welcome people into our church that don't know Christ as their Savior, and we kind of put our stamp of approval on them as it were, and they don't know Christ, we are giving them a false assurance. We are giving them a false safety. That they think they are all right, when in reality, if they don't know Christ as Savior, they are on a terrible road that will end in a place called hell. So to protect other people, we must stand for this truth. And to protect our church, we must stand for this truth. Decline, perversion, and decay of spiritual life are the result when you have unsaved people in the church. When you have people that do not know Christ as their Savior, the church is going to decline. Doctrine is going to be messed up. Why? Because they don't know Christ as their Savior. We enjoyed our special speaker from this past week. He was talking about, we were visiting a little bit, and I'm very familiar with the place that he grew up because that's where my father grew up, in that same area. Of course, there's a few years difference there between the two. But my grandparents and our special speaker were about in the same time frame. In the little farming community in which they lived there, a man came to pastor the community church. He was a gospel preacher. He knew the Lord as his Savior. But as he came to preach in that little community church, it is believed that when he came there, there was one church member that knew Christ as Savior. The man was there for 3.5 years. And I believe when he left, there was one church member who still didn't know Christ as Savior. In that time, the Sunday school superintendent got saved. The church board got saved. Different people, all sorts of people that were already members of the church got saved. Now that's an exciting and thrilling thing that they came to know Christ as their Savior. But how alarming, how incredible that these people could hold office in a church when they don't even know Christ as their Savior. This is the cardinal doctrine here. What is it required for church membership? Ye must be born again. Salvation by faith. Number two, confession of faith. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. A person may have trusted Christ as their Savior, but the church needs to hear about it. We just mentioned in passing about the keys of the kingdom, and I'll not go into that in a great deal here at this time. But the scripture is saying in Psalm 107 and verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm 66:16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Romans chapter number 10, these are familiar verses to you. Verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Number 2, confession by faith. This scripture demands that what you believe in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you should be willing to confess it with your mouth. You should be willing to stand up and proclaim it unto other individuals, unto other people. The scripture demands that. The scripture expects that. Furthermore, Jesus Christ himself really started this idea of interviewing people when he interviewed Peter and his disciples before he started the church. We already read that passage in Matthew 16. He interviewed them and said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He made his confession of faith. And then he went on to talk about the church. And listen, this is why it is so very important here that part of joining the church is confessing your faith. If you want to join our church and you come and say, Pastor, I would like to join the church, here's what we'll have you do. We'll have you meet with the deacons and myself, and we will have you confess your faith. You will say, I know Christ is my Savior. I trust that you already do that. But you'll be willing to tell us your testimony. You'll be willing to share with us the story of how you came to know Christ as your Savior. And you'll be willing to declare, my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. I'm willing to publicly declare it. And we will examine it. We will look at the situation. And if we believe it's valid, then you will get up here before the congregation because you know Christ is your Savior. And you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you will declare to everyone else, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll give your story about it. Because the clear teaching of the Scripture is this. That you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You awake? It's important. It matters. And it matters that it be examined. Letter 3, or number 3 here, baptism by immersion. Baptism by immersion, the passage is familiar, so I'll not have you turn there, but Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says in verses 18 through 20 that we are to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. A person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then he is baptized. That baptism shows that he is identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. We already read in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41, Peter said that they need to repent and be baptized. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now listen, if a person is not willing to follow the Lord publicly, if they're not willing to identify him with believer's baptism, being baptized by immersion, if they're not willing to demonstrate that, why would they want to join his church? It's inconsistent. It doesn't make sense. The apostles knew nothing of unimmersed believers. Someone trusted Christ. They were baptized. They were identified with Christ's church. Baptism by immersion. Number 4, right beliefs. Right beliefs. We've already referred to this passage, 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the faith, of the truth rather. The church is that defense of the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14, it talks about spiritual maturity. And as you develop spiritual maturity, you're not led astray by false doctrine. One of the important things of the church is that it be the defense of the truth, in defense of the right doctrine. Therefore, you have to believe the truths of the Word of God. You have to agree with our statement of faith. You have to agree with our doctrinal statement. Listen, the truth is far too important to just allow anyone into our church so they can spread the lies about the Scriptures. It matters what this book teaches. Eternity is at stake for people, and we have to stand on the truth. It matters that when a person comes in and they say, "I believe what you believe about this book." I had a phone call a month ago. First question off the phone call was this: "Do you have to agree with the doctrinal statement to be a member of your church?" And they went on to ask me a certain question, and you know what? I said, "Yes, you do." And I realized that the very issue that they were talking about was going to be divisive. It would cause all sorts of problems. You have to agree with what we believe the Scriptures say. It matters if we are going to stand for the truth. Number five, Christian living. Christian living matters. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, "We are saved unto good works." Mark 7, verses 16 through 21 indicate that out of the abundance of the heart, all these other things come. Therefore, if your heart knows Jesus Christ as your Savior, it ought to change your life. It ought to change the way you live your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9 indicates, hey, listen, he lists all these different sins, and he says, "Such were some of you. You used to live that way, but now you're different because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior." And listen, there ought to be a difference in our lives because we know Christ. Titus says in Titus 3 and verse number 8, "They that believe God must be careful to maintain good works. Some profess that they know Him, but in works they deny Him." The Scriptures tell us. Christian living is clearly explained in our church covenant. This matters. This is important. And by the grace of God, I want to make it more important as people join our church. It matters how you live. It matters that your life is different. And listen, if you want to know Christ, if you do know Christ as your Savior, and you're willing to confess it, and you're willing to identify with Him in believer's baptism, and you believe what the book says, if you believe the doctrinal statement of our church, and you say, "You know what, I want to be different, and I want my life to be changed, and I want my life to be transformed," then come along and join us. Be a part of our church and serve the Lord here. If we care about the testimony of Christ's local church, then we'll be careful who we accept into the membership of our church. We want our church to grow. We want to add new members. But listen, I want to withhold membership until a person comes by conviction and says, "You know what? I do believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I do. And you know what? I'm willing to tell other people about it. And I'm willing to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I do believe that doctrinal statement. I do believe the Word of God teaches these things. And they matter. And you know what? I want my life to be different." And when you see a person like that, come on and be a part. And if that's you and you haven't joined, come on and be a part. Join our church. Be a person who has a convicted resolve based upon the Word of God. This is what the Word of God teaches. I'm going to live it. I'm going to join with other people who are doing the same. The Scripture has five requirements for church membership. I must move on to see responsibilities of church membership. Membership matters. Notice its responsibilities. Now, I would have you notice this in your notes. I was supposed to get to this the last time I preached, but I didn't. And as I restudied it, I went from 4 points to 6 points. All right? So don't use those points at all. Just write these off in the margin because I'm sorry, I still left in the four there in your notes. I want you to understand the points that the Scriptures bring out here. The first point is this. What are the responsibilities of a church member? Number one, I want to just say it simply this. Be. B-E. Okay? Be. I just reviewed with you a moment ago the importance of, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The very fact of church discipline demands that there is a certain way that Christians, that church members, ought to live. If you're going to be a member of our church, the very first responsibility that you have is to be the Christian that you're supposed to be. Be the believer that you're supposed to be. Be growing in your own personal walk with God. Be right with God. Be removing sin from your life. Be growing more in Christ-likeness. The very first responsibility you have is to be growing in your walk with the Lord. God expects others to see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. He expects us to live rightly, to live by the dictates of the Word of God. We expect you to be a growing church member. We expect you to be right with God in your own life. We don't expect you to be perfect. But we expect you to be desiring it. We expect you to be heading in the right direction, having a passion for change in your own life. Number two, come. Second responsibility of a church member is come. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25 talks about those that forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now listen, if you're a part of a group, and a group meets at certain times, but you don't meet, how are you part of the group? How can you say you're a part if you don't show up when that group shows up? The local church you chose to join has chosen to meet at certain times. And Lord willing, someday I'll preach on what I believe there really are biblical reasons for the different meetings that we've chosen to have here at our church. And you need to be a part of those services. Attend. Be a part. Colossians 2:19, write that passage of Scripture down as well. We'll refer to it again later. You grow as you are connected to the church. You need to be connected. You need to be here if you're going to grow in your own life. So responsibility number two is you need to come. Number three, you need to serve. You need to make a contribution to it. You need to serve in your local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 refers to the church as a body. It uses the metaphor of a body. We have to turn there. Romans 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's look at this. It refers to the church as a body, and you need to get this word picture down in your mind. Look at verse number 25, 12:25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The theme throughout chapter 14 is on edifying in the church, caring for one another, building up one another. If you're going to be a part of the church, we would require of you, number one, that you be all that you should be, that you would come and be a part. Number three, that you would serve here, because see, that's what Jesus Christ says the church is all about. It's about serving and edifying one another. Listen, this is one of the biggest errors of the 21st century, is that church has become all about me. Hey, listen, what will you give me at your church? What ministries do you have for me? What perks do you have for me? And the mentality has become that church membership is like a country club membership or like a Sam's Club membership. And you join for all of the perks and all of the things that you can give for yourself. Now listen, we'll talk about it in a minute. There are perks, there are blessings to church membership, there are rewards to church membership. But church membership, the very truth of what the Word of God teaches, is one of the greatest things in your life to fight this mentality of materialism. And we struggle with a materialistic lifestyle. We struggle with living for the things of this world, all the things that we got to have. If you struggle with that in your life, one of the greatest things you can do is join a good local church and get involved and serve. And when you take one day out of seven to serve other people and to live for them and to live for the cause of Christ, the things of this world become strangely dim. That's the way God intended it. The metaphor he gives of membership is not Sam's Club and Country Club. The metaphor he gives is your body. And your body is there to serve. Your fingers serve you. Your toes serve you. Your nose serves you. The body part serves each other. That's the important truth of the Word of God. Make a contribution. Obviously, when we say contribution, we think financially. And Proverbs 3:9 says to honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. 1 Corinthians 16:2 talks about them making their contribution on the first day of the week. Yes, support the church financially. But make a contribution to individual people. We quoted the verse Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25 earlier about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. But the verse right before that, Hebrews 10:24, says to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In other words, they came to church because they were mindful. Listen, I've got to come and I've got to be an encouragement to this person. And I've got to teach a Sunday school class. And I've got to serve in my capacity. And I've got to pray for this individual. And I've got to wrap my arm around him and show this person I love this person over here. And I'm coming here to encourage these people. They're there to invest in other people, not what perks and programs do you have for me. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens. Ephesians 4 and verse number 12, preparing the saints for the work of the ministry so that they can edify the body of Christ, build up other individuals. Even the passage on church discipline in Matthew chapter number 18 is the idea that here you see another church member over here sinning. They're not walking with God. And you go over there and minister to that person and say, brother or sister, listen, you're not walking with God. You need to come and see this change take place in your life. You're there for other people. Make a contribution financially. Make a contribution to individual people. Make a contribution to the church itself. Invest in the church. Build your life into the church. Show up at the reports meetings and be a part. Our church covenant says this: we'll strive for the advancement of the church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort. I'll promote its prosperity or fruitfulness, its spirituality. I'll sustain its worship and ordinances, its discipline, and its doctrines. What do we request of you? What do we require of you? What are your responsibilities if you're going to be a church member? Serve. Number four, get along. Isn't that a great one? Get along. Read Acts. Here's a bunch of references. Acts 1:14, Acts 2:1, Acts 2:46. The church was birthed to a group of people who were united. They were with one accord. It meant that they had one mind. They had one passion. There was a unity that was there. They prayed with one accord. 1 Corinthians 11:16, Paul says, we don't have the custom of being contentious here. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 18, it talks about, 10 and verse number 18, it talks about the Lord's table and the importance of communion. And in chapter number 11, then there was this division here as some of the rich and some of the poor here at the Lord's table. No. They're supposed to be united. They're supposed to be getting along. Listen, that's going to be a challenge for you at times. Because people come from different backgrounds. People have different ideas. People have different spiritual gifts. People have different levels of spiritual maturity. And here you are. You've grown in the Lord so much. And here's this new believer that's got all these quirks and all these problems. Here's this other person over here that's maybe not walking with the Lord quite as they should be. Here's this person that is just warm and loving. And here's this other person who has this other spiritual gift. And they just clash at times. But you're going to have to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You're going to have to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. You're going to have to get along. And even more so, let's be a united group. Let's be a group that's got a passion, one heartbeat. And we as a church are going to go serve Christ with all of our spirits. And Christ matters to us. We're going to be involved in our church. And we're unified as a church. We are one. We're with one accord, one heart, one passion, one mind serving the Lord. Number five, your fifth requirement, or fifth responsibility rather, is this: to submit. Scripture repeatedly commands Christians to submit to their leaders. Hebrews 13:17, write that down. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Submit to them that have the rule over you. How can you obey that command if you never are a church member? How can you submit to your leaders if you don't have a leader? It's important that you be a part of the church. Another truth of this is Ephesians 5 and verse number 23. We read it this morning. That the church is subject unto Christ. We would ask this responsibility of you. That you would submit to the leaders. But that you would also submit to Christ. That listen. You look at this book and you say, if this book says it, I'm going to do it. This is the authority in my life. I'm going to obey what this book teaches. There's a dearth in the land. There's great amount of people who know what this book says. But don't do what this book says. There's a dearth in the land of people who say, this is the authority for my life, and I'm going to follow it. You're going to have to submit to what the Word of God says. You're going to have to submit to Christ. You're going to have to submit to the church as a whole. Again, I refer to church discipline. When someone comes to you and says, listen, this area of your life needs to be changed. It's just not right. I'm praying for you. I'm working on this area, trying to help you all I can. You're going to have to submit to what they're saying there. Part of being a church member is submission. And that doesn't mean that the leader's allowed to be ugly or a dictator or anything like that. It does mean that you're supposed to search the Scriptures diligently to see if those things are so. Submission is a key responsibility of a church member. In fact, one person said it this way: you don't join a church. You choose to submit to a local church. It's an interesting concept. Number six, and finally on this point, I'd have you to see that you need to disciple. Read my own notes wrong. I knew that didn't sound right. Disciple. In the book of Philippians, I want you to see Philippians. Go to this. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Sounds kind of like a local church, right? It has saints, Christians, it has pastors or bishops, and it has deacons. He's writing to a church here. But notice what he says about them in verse 4. always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. The word fellowship is partnership. He said, you are a partner with me in the gospel. Look over at verse number 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Again, they're partakers in connection with the gospel there. In verse number 27, it says, at the end of the verse, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. They were people who were seeking to make disciples. And listen, if you are a part of our church, you need to be involved in making disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and make disciples of other people. And you need to be involved in our church as we have different opportunities on sewing Saturdays. And you need to be involved in sharing the gospel and passing out tracts. And you need to be involved in sharing your faith. And you need to be involved in then seeing these new disciples grow in their spiritual walk. Grow in their discipleship. Ministering unto other people. Teaching in classes. Praying for them. Helping in other areas so others can minister unto these other people. And listen, if you have a passion to see people become disciples of Christ and grow in their discipleship, then join our church and be a part of it. And if you are a part of our church, then make it a fervent focus and priority in your life that you are going to disciple other people. Make disciples and disciple them. See them grow in their walk with the Lord. You see, being a church member has responsibilities. And I thank God for the wonderful church members that He has brought here. And I don't preach this message because I'm trying to get at some one certain person or anything. I preach this message because this is what I believe the Word of God says are the responsibilities of church members. An atheist said this, I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there's a heaven and a hell and people could be going to hell and not getting eternal life or whatever, you think, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. How much do you have to hate someone to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? We have to disciple. We have to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Last of all, let me just briefly mention, membership matters. It has rewards. There are rewards to being a church member. Can I just mention them quickly to you? You've listened attentively. Number one, personal growth. Colossians 2:19, I told you I would refer to it later. There are other scriptures as well. Show that the connection, your connection to the church, will be your connection to spiritual growth. God has given the pastor, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, to feed the flock. Do you want to starve? Do you want to grow in your walk with the Lord? Then you need to be a part of a church. One of the benefits that you will have is growing in Christ. And you know, I think many times that we forget this. We forget that we can grow in Christ as we will be a part of a church. B, pastoral investment. Did you write that down? Pastoral investment. Here's a reward that you have. Would you like it if someone gave you a butler or a maid or a chauffeur to be of help to you to make your meals, feed you, take care of you in some of these different ways? I'm not saying for a moment that I'm your butler or maid or something quite like that. I do want to be a help to you, but it is my job to feed you the Word of God. And God has put pastors there to watch for your souls, to protect the flock, to feed you, to pray for you, Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. If you're a church member, you're on the pastoral prayer list to be an example unto you. You have a pastor's investment. Number 3, you have deacon care. In Acts chapter 6, it brings out the importance of deacons, that these are godly men, that these are to be wise men, these are to be men filled with the Holy Spirit, men that are honest, and they're there to care for you. Our entire church membership is divided into threes because we have three deacons. And if you're a church member, you're on one of those lists. If you don't know who your deacon is, go ahead and ask them. They should be able to tell you whether or not they're your deacon. And if you have a need, call them. Ask for them. That's what they're there for. Deacons are there to serve. And number 4, family support. Family support. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, talk about the difficulty some of those church members were going through and how others would sell what they have and they would give it to meet the needs of these different ones. We're there for that. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, it speaks there about the importance of caring for widows. That's part of our responsibility as a church. Our church is there to help you through the different transitions of life, marriage, childbirth, passing of a loved one, bridal showers and baby showers, funerals and family care, extra meals in times of difficulties. There are blessings and benefits. There are rewards, number four, to being a church member. Listen, I want to say to you this morning that church membership is an awesome and wonderful thing. It is a reality. Number one, it's biblical. It has requirements. There are five of those requirements that we saw. And if you join the church, there are responsibilities that you have. There are six of those that we examined here this morning. No, there are some great rewards. Four wonderful rewards for being a church member. Listen, those of us that are members of the church, I want to say, hey, press forward and serve the Lord faithfully according to what the Scriptures teach. And I want to say to you, if you're not a member, but this is what you want, I want to invite you to come in just a moment, shake my hand, and we'll set up a time when you can meet with the deacons and confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and begin the process of joining the church. Church membership matters.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.